Well, every time we send someone on a mission, we usually ask them to come back and share a little bit about their mission. And so Anna has been away for a year. And so Anna, refresh our memories. Where have you been? What have you been doing? And when did you leave? And when did you come back?
Yeah, okay. So I launched with the World Race in September. And I lived in Guatemala for 3 months. I lived in Ethiopia for 3 months. And then I was supposed to live in Thailand for 3 months, but I got sent home early. And so I was there for like a month.
So you got home early because of the virus?
Yes, right? I did.
Mm-hmm. So it was a worldwide issue that came across, hit you guys too?
Yep, it did.
Okay. So we've asked Anna to come and share some of her story with you. I think before we actually go into the story, we want to show you some pictures to kind of give you a feel for where she was. So remember, she was in Guatemala, she was in Ethiopia, and then she was in Thailand for a little bit. And you'll see those pictures as they come across, you'll see them. Are there any particular faces you want them to remember in these pictures?
Probably. I made best friends with like a little girl in Ethiopia, and I think you'll be able to pick her out. She's on my back in one of the photos, and her face appears quite a bit. So.
What's her name?
Mascaram is her name.
Okay, and then there were some people in Guatemala. Mm-hmm. There was a family.
Yes.
That was working with you. What's his
yeah.
name?
And then I worked with a family in Guatemala, and his name was Junior. And you'll be able to pick him out because he has two kids, and his beautiful wife is in the picture too.
Okay. And in Thailand, was there anything special in Thailand you want us to see?
My mom came, so okay. That's pretty
that's
special.
That's really important.
Yes.
Okay, so why don't we show that video, and then we'll come back to the conversation.
I never thought I would ever feel it.
So Anna, excuse me. Why did you go on this trip? What is the motivating factor in the whole thing that started this thing?
So I actually had my own plans set out, and I actually felt the Lord calling me to do this, and how I knew it was the Lord was just that it's not really what I wanted to do. It was kind of scary, a little bit unknown, but He provided a way, and He just gave me so many affirmations through fundraising, through support from all of you guys, and He made a way, so.
So let's talk a little bit about the movie here that you just showed.
Yeah.
Who's singing?
That's my squad. So my squad is 45 of us, and we were all on the same route. So we all live together in Guatemala, Ethiopia, and Thailand. And then my team is 7 of us, so it's a smaller group than that. But that's all 45 of us worshiping together. So
who's on your team? Because these are the girls who were the closest to you.
Yes. So my team and I live together, and we're all the way around different parts of the United States. So.
Can you name a couple of them?
Yeah. Midge, Paige, May, Charlie, Evelyn, and Skylar.
Okay, so you had a good team you were working with, but 45 people, so that's who you heard singing in the background. One thing I think they probably wondered what was going on was the person that was in the blue bucket walking around.
That was my teammate Paige. We had to do all of our laundry by ourselves in Ethiopia, so we had like these little pools, and we'd put our clothes in it and hand wash it and then put it on the line to dry.
So washing clothes.
Yeah.
So tell me about some of the God sightings you saw, some of the God things you saw, and the miracles and process you saw in the process.
Yeah, so it actually started at training camp. That was the first time I've ever seen a miracle, I guess you could say. And we were worshiping all together, and there's actually 6 gap year squads, so 45 times 6, all of us together at training camp. And they're like, all right, we're gonna do healings. Does anyone have anything that they need healing in? And that night, 17 people were healed of headaches, migraines, like scoliosis, insane things. And how we did that was just praying over people, and the Lord healed them right there, so.
Is there anyone that sticks out in your mind that kind of was?
Yeah, the person that was next to me raised their hand that they needed healing, and so I put my hand on them, and then more people joined, and I just remember her being like, there's no pain left, like my pain level is a 0 now, and that was probably the night I remember most vividly from training camp, so. Yeah, but it did not stop there at training camp. There was healings in Guatemala. When I went there, my ministry host, Junior, that you saw up there, my ministry in Guatemala, I was always with him, and so our ministry could be ATL, which is Ask the Lord. And so what we would do is just pray in the morning and be like, hey, Lord, what do you have for us today? Where should we go? And are there any specific words or people that just are going to guide our way today? And that day, we all got the most, like, random words. It was like someone got salt, and we were like, what is this going to lead to? You know, we had no idea, but we actually met this woman who lived with 2 of her granddaughters, and she could not lift her arms, even though she was taking care of them and had to put their clothes on the line. She could not lift her arms, and she found it really difficult to just care for those kids due to this, and Junior's like, yeah, we're going to lay hands and we're going to pray for healing. And my teammate Charlie was holding her elbow, and when she was praying, she felt the elbow snap into place, and the Lord brought healing upon that woman, which was so cool to watch, just because she was able to care for those kids, and she just gets to share the testimony to everyone in that village, which is truly amazing. Yeah.
You told me a story about one of your teammates. Mm-hmm. Who had her leg healed.
Yes. So my teammate Evelyn, she actually had to launch a week late from the race due to she had like a doctor's appointment, and she had something wrong with her knee. There was like a tumor or a lump somewhere in there, and she was originally not supposed to go on the race because of it. And in Guatemala, she decided to launch anyways, and our leaders were just like, we're going to pray for healing over Evelyn's knee because we don't want her to deal with it the rest of the race. And the Lord brought healing to Evelyn. The knee that had problems was never a problem for her on the race, which is insane. So, yeah, just kind of speaking on healings, it's not something that I was ever familiar with, but now it's become a part of my ordinary life. I'm just willing to pray for people that are sick and lay hands and just sit in expectancy for the Lord to just come and do a miracle. So, yeah.
So cool. So in the process of being over there, one of the reasons we go on mission is to share Jesus,
yeah,
to share the love of Jesus with people. And our hope is that they would then place their faith in Christ and follow him as well, like we are following him. Did you have any experiences like that?
Yes. On the race, we were kind of taught that people accepting Christ in their hearts is amazing, but it's not the sole reason that we are there. We're there to act like Jesus. We're there to love like Jesus. And with that, people accepting Christ into their heart will follow. So we were in the park. We did ministry in the town of Paramos. So it was a pretty big town. And my team and I decided to just worship in the park. We brought a guitar. We brought one of those things you bang on. I'm sorry, I don't know music. And then we just started worshiping. We kind of knew a little worship in Spanish. So we chose to worship in Spanish, even though it was a little rough, and a crowd easily just drew in. And there was this girl, probably 13 years old, that just walked past, and I got this heavy feeling in my heart. I'm like, I'm supposed to go talk to her. I know I'm supposed to go talk to her. But I brought a translator because I couldn't speak Spanish well enough to do it by myself. And what she had basically said was that she had a skin disease and she didn't feel beautiful. She felt so ashamed. And I just got to speak truth in life to her and tell her, you know, how the Lord sees her just as a beautiful woman of God and that he doesn't see her any differently. And she decided to accept Christ into her heart. So I got to pray over top of her. And yeah, she actually accepted Jesus into her heart. And we gave her a Bible that was in Spanish. So it was amazing.
Cool. Very yeah. Cool. Any other God sightings that you had while you were in Ethiopia or wherever else?
Yeah, in Ethiopia, this one's pretty crazy. So it was the first week that I was there, and we actually had an awakening. And what an awakening is when two squads overlap in a country at the same time.
Help us with that. We don't understand what squads are. So what's a squad?
Yeah, so they're like the team of 45.
45,
yep,
okay.
And they're on different routes. So we overlapped with an 11 and 11 squad. So they're a bit older than us. That's the ages from 21 to 35. So we were there in Ethiopia overlapping for a couple days. And we actually activated together is what we called it. So we went out into the town and just kind of evangelized pretty much. And what we ran into was just a lot of poverty. And we came across this woman who was quite a bit older, and she was living with a married couple, and one of them was her brother, so she was related to them. And she came out, and we didn't really know what was going on because she doesn't speak our language, and our translator was the one communicating with her. And then all of a sudden, our translator was like, guys, she has three evil spirits in her. We're going to cast the demons out. And that's not something I'd ever seen before. I was kind of scared. And I was just not laying hands on her. I was kind of back in the group. But I'm really thankful I was with people that were older than me and knew how to handle the situation, whereas I can just look to them for guidance. We prayed over her. And it was a whole scene. She was rolling around on the ground, and a crowd started to gather. And we were just like, oh my goodness, what is going on? And our translator didn't really explain much, but he was like, we're actually going to bring her to the church because that is where I can call the pastor and he knows what to do more than I would. And so we walked down to the church. It was probably like a 30-minute walk. And once we got in there, it was just the woman, the pastor, and then our squad. And we were all sitting in the pews of the church. The church was very, very small. And I just remember I started singing the song Tremble, where it's like, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble, that song. And that's kind of what I chose to do because I wasn't really sure what was happening. And the pastor was just like yelling things, and she was rolling around on the ground. And then all of a sudden she just sat up, and She actually accepted Jesus into her heart, and from that moment on, she went to church, and it was a really cool testimony. But I had to debrief it with my squad leader, because I wasn't really sure what had just happened, and I was a little frightened. I'm like, where do they go when they leave? You know, I just had a lot of questions, and he was able to answer them for me. So I feel like that's why I'm able to look back at it with such a cool perspective, is just because I had all those questions answered about it, and yeah.
So in that story, I remember you telling me that you actually were with a group that you were not familiar with. So this is part of the other group that you were with.
Yeah.
You had actually gone to the bathroom and come back out, and you were the last one to be picked.
Yeah.
And you got thrown into a group that you were not familiar with. How did that affect you? Did you learn something from that?
Yeah. Because there was only two people that were my age, like 18 to 21, and then the rest were older. So I really just looked to them and saw how they handled the situation, which was made me feel a lot more comfortable in it and a lot less frightened. There was a girl who just put her arm around me and was comforting me. She's like, it's fine, like, you are so safe because you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. Like, nothing is going to happen to you, which was just kind of like what I needed. And the people that were there were actually like praying in tongues, which is, again, something I had never seen. So that was another element of it, like just so many unknowns happening at once. But yeah, it's a really cool testimony.
Oh, God was definitely showing you some things in this process, wasn't he? What have you learned? Let's talk about your hard things. What are some of the hard things that happened to you on this trip?
There's definitely a lot of hard things. I could speak on so many things, but I'm just like immediately thinking of Ethiopia. It was a very hard season, and it was the best season of the race for me. Ethiopia was my favorite place. But it was definitely the hardest season.
What made it hard?
Yeah, so my ministry was to garden in the morning and the afternoon every day. And it got really tedious. You know, I packed in a backpack, so I didn't really have very many manual labor clothes. So I ended up wearing the same thing every single day. And I went picking through dirt every single day. And it just got really tedious. But through it, the Lord just showed me that. And he just reminded me that I'm doing it for his kingdom, and he chose me to sit in the dirt in Ethiopia and pick through it, which is just so humbling that he chose me for this season, and just reminded me that to choose joy in that season, I could have had such a bad attitude about picking through dirt every day, but he just reminded me to choose joy and to choose perspective, and choosing joy just kind of looked like being content with where I was at, and our squad talked about choosing joy a whole lot, and I guess it just looked like that's the place. I remember I got to know my team the best. We sat around dirt and talked and talked and talked, and I could look at it with such a different perspective, but I get to look at it and be thankful for picking through dirt for hours upon hours.
So there was, in Ethiopia, you had Wi-Fi three times?
Yeah, three times in 3 months.
And what about your phones?
So in Guatemala, we had like the first month, we did not have our phones at all. They like took them away and we got them back at night, just not during ministry, just to kind of teach us that social media can be used for ministry, but just how to do it the right way. And so in Guatemala, we got Wi-Fi on the weekends when we went to a coffee shop, but we didn't actually have it where we stayed. And then in Ethiopia, we all kind of knew that Wi-Fi was going to be pretty rare. And so in that, it kind of looked like saying goodbye to my family for a little bit, and it was hard. It was hard to know that I wasn't going to be talking to them, telling them stories, calling them on the weekends or whenever, really. But that's the place where I just cut it knowing how to live and like live fully. I didn't have to be on my phone. I didn't have to keep up to date with it. And I think the Lord taught me so many things through that season of just pure abandonment. And so we got Wi-Fi three times in the 3 months, and that was me who chose to go to the capital, which was 3.5 hours away, and you didn't have to. So people definitely got it less. But yeah, just through that season of abandonment, I was fulfilled in like so many other ways, and I just had a routine of every single morning waking up at 6 a.m. and spending my time with the Lord in His Word for 2 hours, and then we had breakfast, and then we went to ministry, which I think it's harder to choose that here where there's so many distractions, but I just got to choose it fully, and I saw the fruit of choosing it fully, which nothing compares to it. So, yeah.
Cool. So any other hard things that occurred?
Yeah, one thing that was hard at first, but I love it, I learned to love it, I guess, is just the different pace around the world. And we are go, go, go people. But I just really learned how to slow down. And I just credit Ethiopia for that again. Just learning how to live in a slower pace and taking my time with things and knowing that I don't have to be in the hurry for the next season, but I actually just get to sit in contentment in every season that I'm at. So I was able to realize for all my life, I've just kind of looked forward to the next season. And so for me in high school, that'd be like, oh, I can't wait to go on the race. Like, I'm so ready to go on the race. And then I got on the race, and I'm like, in Guatemala, true, like, I was loving it in Guatemala, but I'm like, Africa's my place. I know it is. I can't wait for Africa. And then Ethiopia, I just really learned that looking forward to the next season is good, but I can't always be longing for it. I just get to choose to sit in this season, and I think that's something I'm really appreciative of now, is to just sit in the season that I'm in right now at home and just appreciate all the things that I missed while I was gone, whether it be super little things like gardening with my dad or watching a show with my mom, just like really little things that I missed, just sitting in contentment with them and enjoying them fully.
So you had a good friend over there, Mascara.
Yeah, Mascara.
Tell me about Mascara.
Yeah, so when I got to Ethiopia, I realized kind of the promise that the Lord held over Ethiopia. So just to explain it, Ethiopia, the year in there is 2012 right now. It's crazy. It's like the only country that does that. But
well, why are they doing that?
Honestly, I don't know. It's just the way their calendar works. So it's okay. Actually 2012 there, and they have a new year like in September. But I was able to realize that when I was 11 years old, my mom gave me this book, and it was about shooting hoops for hope, and it was about this like little boy, and he wanted to go to Africa, and he raised money for Africa, and I was like, man, I want to go to Africa so, so bad, and I kind of just went on with my life. I kind of forgot about it a little bit. The Lord took me on some ups and downs. But once I got to Ethiopia, he just reminded me the promise that he held over it and that he actually gave it to me right when I asked for it and right when he did promise it for me, because 2012 was the year that I got that book and I got to Ethiopia and it was 2012. So the Lord actually gave me the promise that I wanted all along right when I asked for it, which is very, very cool. And in that, Mascaram was 10 years old, so she would have been the age that I was when I asked for this promise, which really just made her my best friend. I went over to her house mom for supper every night, and I just got to know her really well. She actually spoke English. Just a background, I lived on an orphanage in Ethiopia. I guess I never said that earlier, so that kind of comes with it, but so she was on the orphanage, and I lived there with 32 kids. So we were up here, and then their houses were down here, and they had house moms and to take care of them. So I went down and visited her every day. She came up to my door at my room every day, and what was just cool through it is I never was her teacher, which was another ministry kind of like assignment, was to teach English to the kids, and I was never her teacher. I was never her authority. I just got to be her friend, which was really cool to just know that she was my best friend, and that's what the Lord promised for me.
So being your best friend over there, you said she was a jitterbug. What does that mean?
She was the opposite of my personality. Like, I'm kind of laid back. I'm a little bit more quiet, but she was so outgoing, and she wasn't afraid to go up to anyone and say things that were, like, not necessarily rude, but they're just very honest, and it made it very funny. But, yeah, she definitely chose me to be her best friend from the day one. She grabbed my hand and she's like, best friends now. And we really were best friends. I can see myself going back to Ethiopia so soon to see all those kids again and just catch up with everyone, but yeah.
So you lived on an orphanage there, mm-hmm. and you told me a story about when you guys left. What did they do?
Oh yeah, this is kind of funny. So the kids did not want us to leave, and it was really, really hard to say goodbye. That's kind of one of the harder things that I could talk about too, is you think about living 3 months in a place and making all these connections, all these people that you're best friends with, and then you have to say goodbye. And it's really, really hard. Like, I don't even know how to describe it, but I've never had my heart hurt that bad when I left Ethiopia. They told us not to cry because it'll make the kids feel bad, but I was bawling, the kids were bawling. It was the hardest goodbye I've ever had to say, just because when I leave home and I leave my parents, I know I'm coming back to them, but Ethiopia, it's so different. But when we were leaving, they got all these sticks and like all these bricks, and they piled up the exit so that we couldn't leave, and the van was like stuck there, and the people had to go unpile all of it. And the kids came up to me and they were like, you know, leaving today, you stay in longer. And it was really sad because I was like, we are leaving. We actually are, but yeah.
So what about Thailand? We've been to Guatemala, we've been to Ethiopia. What happened in Thailand?
Yeah, so the first week in Thailand, my mom actually got to come see me, and that was PVT is what it's called, Parent Vision Trip. So she got to reunite with me, and we got to do ministry together and some touristy things like see the elephants, and it was just a really good time to have my mom kind of see what my life has been like for the past 7 months, you know, just the community that I had, how we loved each other so well. And worship with my mom and my squad, it was amazing. I got to see all the growth that my mom brought, and she got to see all the growth that I'd had. It was one of a kind. We had a lot of fun, so yeah.
If you had one or two things you'd like to say to your church family, what would they be?
I would just really like to thank you guys for all the support that I've had. Whether it be just in prayer or financially, I'm just so grateful for every single person that had a role in this past 7 months of my life, even though it was supposed to be 9. I thank you for just asking me hard questions, and I want to encourage you to do so. I'm so open to talk about it, and I love hard questions. But yeah, I'm just overwhelmed with gratitude for every single one of you and really thankful.
So what does the future hold?
Yeah, it is a hard question. So at the end of the summer, I'm going to move to Ames, and I'm going to be in Cornerstone and Salt and all that, but I'm not really sure what the future holds. I'm kind of wanting to go more into ministry, but I'm really just kind of sitting in the middle of the Lord's will. What that looks like for me is just asking him questions and knowing that an answer will come, sitting in expectancy for him to just reveal his plans for me.
So if you had students out here who are high school students or junior high students, even elementary students who were, we say, you know, I would like to think about doing that someday, what would you tell them? And are you encouraging them to come talk to you?
Yeah, definitely encouraging them to come talk to me. It was the best season of my life, truly. I just saw the Lord in so many different ways. I learned about him in so many different ways. And I'm able to just say that, like, Jesus is my best friend. And so how I'd, like, encourage them is to just make it a point to have Jesus as your best friend and learn about him as a friend, learn about him, and just spend time with him.
So the last 9 months have been a life changer for you.
Truly, yes.
You are a different woman today than you were when you left. Mm-hmm. And God has really not only used you, but has instructed you in the process. And so as you have given, God has given back to you, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And so we just want to say thank you for going, for being willing to go. Thank you for encouraging those who are maybe thinking about doing something like this to say, you know, it's worth it to take a risk with God.
Yeah, that's also something I was going to speak on too, is just doing the hard things, and what that kind of looks like is knowing that failure, what the world defines as failure, and just being uncomfortable are on the line. And when you do hard things, that's going to be something that's pushed, is you're going to be uncomfortable and it's going to be hard, and you might think that you're failing, but really the Lord is teaching you so much through it. And I guess another thing I just thought of was I'm really thankful for like the church as a body, and I just kind of learned about each role in the body of Christ and how there's a hand and a foot, and just everyone has their role. And I'm really thankful for the people that were able to send me, and that I was the one to go, and you guys were the ones to send. And I just kind of learned that so much about my identity in Christ, and that I don't have to be the one that is loud all the time. I don't have to be all these things that I'd kind of put myself in a box for, like, oh, you can't truly do this because you don't have as much energy as this person, and just like a lot of comparison. But I just really let the Lord speak so much truth over me that I am his daughter, and he sees me completely pure, completely blameless. He renews me every single day, and he calls me a child of the light. He calls me so many things that I'm able to just feel fulfilled when other people aren't calling me those things. And I don't have to seek it from other people anymore either. I don't have to be fishing for other people to compliment me or to encourage me, because the Lord is walking with me, and he's doing it every step of the way.
You encourage me, and I think you encourage all of us in our walks with the Lord, that he's at work in our lives. And the song Waymaker has been ringing through my head this last week, because that's what he is. He's the Waymaker. Even when I don't feel it, he's working. Even when I don't see it, he's working. He is working in our lives, and he's working in your life. And we just want to say thanks for being willing to go and then to come and share with us, because one of the signs of a healthy church is always, there's always a giving component, but another one is the sending component. That when you start sending people into mission and doing things that God has called them to do as a church, that means you're healthy. That we're not afraid to send someone, and if they come back, great. If they don't come back, then they're doing what God has them to do. So thank you for being willing to do that.
Yeah.
Let's just pray for you, and then we'll continue with a couple more songs. Father, I just thank you for Anna. So appreciative of what you have done in her life and how you have you've ministered through her. You have ministered to her. Lord, I pray for Mascara today. I ask that you would continue to encourage that little girl and turn her into a woman of God. Father, I pray for that woman who was who the evil spirits left. I pray, Lord, that you would place your hand upon her, Father, and you would change her life through your presence in her. Father, I pray for these ministry partners they had in other parts of the world, in Guatemala and Ethiopia and Thailand. Father, I don't even know their names, but I pray for them, because they're on the ground in a different country, and we ask that you would be ministering to them as you were ministering to us. Lord God, you are such a magnificent God. You are so big, and you have no limits. And so, Father, forgive us when we stop praying for things that have limits, or we pray with just limits. Father, we pray that you would lift the limits of our experience with you and help us to understand that you are able to do things that we would never ask or think. Father, that's what you say in your word. We ask that you continue to do that in our lives. Open up our expanses. Help us to do the hard things, because in the hard things there is growth and there is learning. Thank you for Anna, Father. I ask that you would just be with her in her future. You continue to show her the way, and you would care for her in all these days that are ahead. In Jesus' name we pray.
Can I actually say something real quick?
Absolutely.
Okay, so I kind of felt the Lord telling me to say this, which is so cool, because did you guys know the Lord speaks to you? And just pay attention to the Lord speaking to you too, which is the coolest thing. But I learned so much about worship on the race, and not necessarily how to, but just what worship truly is. And there's this phrase that's just sticking out to me right now, and worship is when you're at your best, like you're in communion with Jesus Christ, like you're worshiping him, and this is the most at best you will ever be, is when you are in worship to him. And I think there's so many things that worship is just boxed in to be. Worship is with songs, of course, and of course we're sitting in pews at church worshiping, but how cool is it that we get to do it every single day of our lives? The Lord created us to worship in different ways. It's not all singing, it's not all sitting in a pew. Sometimes it's creating. Like, the Lord has created so many things in us, and He inspires us to create as well. Sometimes it's writing. It's all these different ways that we can bring worship to the Lord. And I just wanted to encourage us all to try something new with worship. If we define worship as just sitting in pews at church once a week, that's not good enough. It's not. Let's do it every day. Let's be people that fight for worship. And, you know, let's try something new even right here. If we don't lift our hands, that's fine. Maybe let's try to make ourselves a little bit more uncomfortable and do hard things. If it's sitting down, do it. It's just, let's do something different now. So.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Anna.
Yeah.